The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, our hearts are heavy today for the families that are devastated by the shooting in Minneapolis yesterday at the Annunciation Catholic Church and School, school for K through 8th grade, I believe, as Robert Westman, who was a trans and changed his name to Robert Westman, a 23-year-old suburban Minnesotan from Minneapolis, conducted this terrible, horrible, unconscionable act where he just opened fire on the church service, killed two people, and injured 17 others. This is what the Bible says concerning grief, and a grief that many of us can't even fathom. But we find comfort in the Word of God, because the Bible says that God is the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Well, our hearts break as we think about what these families are going through, the families who lost loved ones, and those who are just shaken to the core. And I heard the news interview, a young boy that was there in the room. He said somebody, they got down under the pews, and he said somebody laid on top of him, very brave, to protect him. He had a friend of his get shot in the back, but he said he thinks he's going to be okay. He's in the hospital right now. And, you know, these young kids, 9, 10, 11, how old they are, experiencing something like that, it's beyond what our minds can comprehend. And the mayor of Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey, he immediately went on and began to talk about, you know, protecting the trans community, and called out those who were saying, you know, this is happening a lot with these people who are trans and have the, you know, have divorced themselves from reality. Well, this is what he said. He immediately went on the offensive there, and then he was on CNN. You know, it's going to be a friendly program to him, and he doubled down on his statement. This is what he said.
"Obviously, I've heard about the rhetoric and the narrative that is being pushed out, but here's the thing. Anybody that is going to use this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any community has lost touch with a common humanity. We got to be operating not out of hate for any group, but out of a love for our children. That's where the focus needs to be right now. A love for our kids. Seeing these kids, not just as somebody else's kids, this horrific thing happened, but what if it was our own? How would we feel then? So, look, we need to be standing up for every community out there. A Catholic community, too, by the way. I mean, any community that suffers this kind of blow, or Minneapolis community, you got to stand up for them. But, you know, I feel oftentimes in these instances, there's this desire to villainize a group."
Well, he was talking about, you know, a desire to villainize a group. Well, listen, this guy, he's thinking that you love people by entering into their insanity and supporting them in their insanity. You don't. A person that has given himself over to the lie that I'm truly a woman trapped in a man's body, or I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, and you go down that road, well, you are entering into a realm of insanity. You're in fantasy land. Your brain is not working right. You are going against science. You are going against scripture. You are going against common sense. You are believing the lies that guys like this Jacob Fry and others, Governor Tim Walz, the Minnesota AG, the Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, they're all for trans people. The Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, this is mind-boggling. This is what she had to say concerning transgender people, and let me find it here.
Because let's be clear, this is life-affirming and life-saving healthcare.
It's not.
When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them.
That's insane.
That's what it means to be a good parent.
That's what it means to be a terrible parent. When our children tell us who they are, when our 9-year-old tells us who he is, hey, I'm Superman, then we should take him to the roof and throw him off because Superman can fly. That's a parent that needs to be put in prison. You don't, there was an episode, you may have seen it, from Andy Griffith, where Andy sits down with somebody who is trying to tell him that, you let your kids make their own decisions. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. He said, kids don't know. They're kids. And you have to train them up in the way that they should go. You have to tell them what is right and what is wrong. When kids tell you they are a girl, when they're obviously XY male, you don't say, oh, okay. You say, no, you're not. And let's live in the world of reality. Now, listen, I have compassion for people who are struggling, but you don't help people and you don't love people. This is for Mayor Jacob Fry. He's talking about hate from those who say there's a serious problem here in supporting this insanity. And, oh, that's hate. You know, we love people. We don't hate people. When you lie to people, you're not loving them. Read 1 Corinthians 13 and see how God describes love. He describes it more than he defines it. But love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. And so if you're going to rejoice in unrighteousness and rejoice in a lie, you're not loving that person. You are hurting that person. You are hating that person. Now, obviously, this person that did this horrific act and shot all those bullets and killed two people and wounded 17 others and traumatized kids and their families, this Robert Westman, who changed his name to Robin Westman, he went to that school, and his mother worked at that school, and he legally changed his name at the age of 17 to reflect his identifying as a female. He is a sick pup. He revealed that on YouTube, his manifesto. He wrote on there how he wanted to kill Donald Trump, obviously suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, which is another whole deal in people's minds where they just feel like they're justified. I have to kill Trump. It's like killing Hitler. It's a sad situation for sure. But it requires us, rather than saying, hey, we need to go after guns because this is gun violence, we need to go after guns. We need to start telling people the truth and getting people back to a sense of sanity, moral sanity, and continue to push, as Donald Trump is doing, for law and order, and to crack down on criminals, as Donald Trump is doing and wants to do, not only in D.C., but in Chicago and Baltimore and other places. And obviously the left is fighting against that. Trump is against fentanyl, and he's against the drug cartels. Somebody posted on X and said, how long before the left comes out in support of the drug cartels? Because they're against anything Trump does. But listen, we our hearts break for these families, and even the mom and dad who were parents to this shooter, I don't know what they're going through today. But if they were for this kid becoming, you know, identifying as a woman and all that, they didn't help him at all either. You don't help somebody by lying to them. You help somebody by speaking the truth in love. And our country desperately needs to get back to sanity. I've used program titles before from that phrase that was popular in the 90s, Stop the Insanity. It was a lady that did the, she was talking about a diet, and she was talking about what we're eating. We're insane. Stop the insanity. Well, we need to stop the insanity as it relates to transgenderism. Listen, science tells you you are X or XY, XY male, XX female. That's on every cell of your body, your DNA, those chromosomes. It's on everything in your body. That's how you're made. Your skeletal structure is made as a XY male or XX female. They can dig you up 100 years from now and check your skeletal structure, and they can tell if you are male or female. It's science tells you, biology tells you, no, you're a male or you're a female. Scripture tells you he made us male and female. It's binary. This idea that's non-binary, that's a joke. That's not true. And common sense tells you that. You know, a little boy, a little girl, unless they are fed lies by a sick mom or dad, that little boy and little girl naturally knows, they know the difference between boys and girls. I mean, it's not hard. And yet we are so smart, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Romans chapter 1, verse 22. And we have that in spades. So we want to pray and lift up these families and pray that God would take a tragedy like this and Romans 8:28, work it together for good, and bring our country to a place of, wait a minute, we need to start dealing with this. The problem is not with guns. The problem is with insanity, moral insanity. Now, there are those who shoot people because they're just evil. They're off the rails. And they may not be struggling with mental disorder or now I think the demonic is obviously involved in all of these shootings, but you have some people, they just want to kill people, and they're bitter, they're hating life, hating God, hating people. And then you have this guy that he's got a mental problem. He's got a demonic problem. He has believed lies. He has exited off the road of sanity. He's in the realm of insanity. And once you get off the road of sanity, I don't think there's a bottom to that. You know, the depravity and the depraved acts that you can do. You know, we're all depraved as sinners, but that doesn't mean that we take depravity to the nth degree. But when you exit off the road of sanity, you're in big trouble, and there you can fall so far. and do things that you never thought you would do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are burdened and heartbroken over what happened yesterday in Minneapolis, and we're praying for the families that were so horribly affected by this shooter, Robert Westman, who changed his name to Robin. And so we're going to be taking your calls in the third segment. I want to talk about more about this. But when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about Bibles for babies. So don't go away. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, have you heard of the radio program on AFR called Hannah's Heart? It's a show to help Christian couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage, and is hosted by Ann Cockrell and Kendra White. And we are having the second annual Bibles for Babies campaign that is led by Hannah's Heart. And we have one of the hosts with us today, Ann Cockrell. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And so for those that aren't familiar, what is the Bibles for Babies campaign?
So at Hannah's Heart, we strive to walk with couples who are walking through infertility or miscarriage or child loss, and we just encourage couples to cling to Christ during that time. And so Bibles for Babies started last year. I wanted a way to honor my sweet baby who passed away after just 26 minutes on this earth. And his first birthday would have been last July. And so as his birthday was coming up, I just felt in my heart that I just had to do something to honor him. And so I was talking to my friend at Parkgate Pregnancy Center here in Tupelo, Andrea, and she was telling me this story about a young girl who had come in their clinic, and they had received a small donation of New Beginner's Bibles, and they gave her one after she had a positive pregnancy test. Well, from what I understand, she had never had a Bible before, and so she went home that night and read that whole Bible. It's a children's Bible. It's you know, readable right in one night. So she read that Bible that night to her little baby in her belly and came back the next day and said, I want to know who this Jesus is. I need to know who he is. And so that's when they saw, you know, just how important meeting that spiritual need is, just like meeting those physical needs that they had been meeting with, you know, donating diapers and wipes and formula, things like that, but to meet that spiritual need first. And so they now give out Bibles for each positive pregnancy test. They give a girl a New Beginner's Bible as her first baby gift.
That is so cool. And so what is the goal for us here, Anne, with Bibles for Babies?
So $10 donates one Bible, and our goal, we encouraged people last year to take this time, if you've ever had a miscarriage or a stillbirth or even a way to honor your kids here, is to donate in those babies' memories. You can donate a one-time gift of $10, or if you're doing it in memory of your babies, do it for each of those losses that you might have walked through. That's what my husband and I did. And then our own Dr. Nurse Mama, Jessica, who's on that program, she is the one that came up with that idea. She's had a few miscarriages herself, and then she has four kiddos who are still here on this earth, and so she donated in memory and in honor of each of her kids.
So, Anne, in light of the school shooting yesterday, first week of school, it's just it's horrific. I had a friend of mine who lost his son at 18, had a heart issues, and when there's a school shooting and when parents lose their child, his wife told me, it's like it just brings it all back up again. And you and your husband have experienced the pain of losing a child. Does that affect you differently considering what you've gone through?
Oh, yeah. I think just the realness of it and the reality of that doesn't ever go away. My friend at Parkgate, who's the director there, her little boy passed away when he was 3. And so she definitely walked through us as we lost after John Micah passed away. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she was like, and the whole first year is like this blur of like, you know, you just don't understand this new reality. Mm-hmm. She was like, year 2 is when you almost get mad at it because we've already lived through our first Christmas and our first, you know, mm-hmm. would have been birthday. But then to know like, well, it's not over then, you know, you don't get to like check it off your list of like, all right, well, I've grieved that, you know, but it's for the rest of your life. And so it definitely has just opened my eyes and heart to other people who are walking around, you know, every day. You still have to continue to live. You still have to get up and make breakfast and get kids to school and, you know, seem like everything's all right. But deep down, you know, we know, especially without the Lord, that things really aren't all right, but that we have to continue to trust in his plan and to live in the hope of heaven. And my goodness, if John Micah, my sweet baby, if he's taught me anything, it is to desire heaven even more, because mm-hmm. I have to believe and know without the shadow of a doubt now that my faith will become my sight one day. And I long to, you know, worship at the feet of my Savior. But I can't help but picture and long for the day that my sweet boy, you know, will be right behind Jesus that day. That is what I'm hoping for, and, you know, want to finish my race here on this earth for, is to make sure that people understand how real heaven is, because mm-hmm. I have a very, very special little boy who is there.
Mm, that's so good. You know, that friend of mine that lost his son at 18, his son died on Christmas Day, and I remember Ann asking him, I said, Sean, did that ruin Christmas for you? And he said, no, because I look at Christmas this way. That's the day that my son went to heaven. And I thought, what a great perspective. And so he's able to rejoice even through the tears. And so I think perspective on something like that would be critical, because otherwise you could get very bitter and angry at God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and I can totally see how people could do that, you know.
So Bibles for Babies is a good positive way to say, okay, I'm going to take this pain and turn it into something that helps other people. So tell our listeners, Anne, how they can do that.
So you can call 877-616-2396. You can donate over the phone that way, or you can give online at afr.net/BiblesForBabies, and you can give that way as well.
Very good. Well, so Anne, it's been how long for you since you lost your son?
In July, it was 2 years.
Does the pain lessen?
No, I think you just learn to live with it.
Yeah. I've heard it said that you never get over it. You do get through it, but you don't get over it. It is just a wound in your heart. Well, as you said, there's coming a day when we're all, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, as the song says.
Right.
And to see those loved ones, especially children, that just makes heaven that much sweeter.
It does. It does. And if I can encourage anyone, if anyone needs to reach out, we are definitely available on social media, but also at hannahsheart@afa.net. We take all kinds of prayer requests there, and we do pray over those names and those stories. And then we also love to get praise reports. We've had so many people let us know. We call them our Hannah's Heart babies. As we pray for those babies, you know, however they come, either biologically or adoption or different things like that. And so please reach out if you need, you know, during infertility or after a child loss, something like that. We've walked through a lot of losses with people, but also a lot of celebrations.
Yeah. Well, Anne, can you do us a favor? Can you pray and pray especially for those who are dealing with infertility, for those who've lost a baby, and for these in Minnesota who are experiencing just the first wave of all the grief that they're going to go through.
Yes, sir. Father, we come to you right now. God, thank you that we can freely just do this right now, to stop what we're doing and come to you, Lord, and know that you're listening. God, first I do just pray for the victims' families of the shooting yesterday, Lord. Just what a heartbreaking incident that is, God. And man, the first few hours and days, it's almost just like your head spinning, but your world just stopped. And so I pray for those families, God. I pray that you send them the right resources and people in their lives to help them walk through the most toughest of days that they're facing right now and that will continue to come, God. I pray that you keep the enemy far away, God, and that you just let your presence be known in those families' lives, God. And Lord, they need you, and I pray that they welcome your Holy Spirit, God.
Yes.
God, thank you for the hope of heaven, Lord. Father, I pray for the couple or the mom or dad that might be listening who's desiring to be a mama or a daddy, Lord. I pray over them right now if they're in their car or getting ready for work or whatever they're doing, God, that you just hug them, Lord, because I remember that feeling of, God, I don't understand, and I want a baby, and you're letting these tragic events happen all over the place, God, and I would raise a baby to love you, so why? God, I pray that you help them just rest in knowing that you are good, even when our circumstances don't feel like it, Lord, and that you love them way more than what they could ever imagine. God, I pray for the couples that might have just walked through a miscarriage, or maybe they did years ago and they haven't really talked about it. Lord, I pray that you give them the freedom to talk about their baby and the life that they never got to meet. The same with the couple who maybe have walked through a stillbirth or a child loss, God. It feels good to get to say our baby's names and to make sure that they're not forgotten, because we know we think about them every day. And so I just pray that you send people their way to bring up their baby's name, God, because what a treasure that is when someone else brings them up. Lord, we love you, and thank you that we have the hope of heaven and that we know that our loved ones are there, that most importantly, that your son is there, God. And thank you for covering our sins and for taking away the punishment that we should have paid, but that your son paid it all for us on the cross that day. God, we love you, and thank you for loving us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anne. What a blessing. Well, thanks for coming on, and Bibles for Babies, you can get involved. Go to afr.net/Bibles for Babies, or you can call at 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Well, thank you, Anne. God bless you so much for that wonderful prayer and for coming on today. Well, we are going to open up the phone lines earlier today. I want to hear from you as it relates to this terrible tragedy. You can call 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or comment, you know, when terrible things happen, just as Anne's prayer was just so wonderful, you know, we don't understand. We don't like it. Job did not like it when he got the news that all your children have died. Nobody would like that. And the tendency would be in that instance, you know, once the dust settles, so to speak, and once, you know, as Anne said, you're just in a fog, you don't know, I mean, is this a dream? Surely I'm dreaming. This can't be my reality. And you have such grief. Anger is going to get in there somewhere. I remember the book or the movie that Kendricks did where Alex lost his little girl. And he was sitting down with the pastor, and the pastor was talking about anger. And he said, I don't want to be angry. But the anger is coming. And so you have to cast that burden on the Lord, knowing that he will sustain you. I've always said this. There are three things that every Christian has to have: chiseled in his heart, in her heart, so that you can handle, without falling apart, without cursing God and dying, these unexpected tragedies, because life really does turn on a dime. We don't know what is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It says in James, don't say we're going to go in such and such city and engage in a prophet. He says you don't know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. We don't hold the future. God holds the future. But these three things that are critical for every Christian to have chiseled in his heart, in her heart. Number one, God is good. God is good. Life can be bad, but God is good. Number two, God loves me. And you have to know that. God is good. God really does love me. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. And then the third truth, Romans 8, 28, God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I believe that if you know, no matter what happens in life, I'm not budging off the fact that God is good. No matter what happens in life, I'm not budging off the fact that God really does love me. Even if it's hard for me to see it through circumstances, his love is, as Henry Blackaby used to say, his love is outside of circumstances. When God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's something outside of our lives. If you wonder if God loves you, just take a trip in your mind to bloody Calvary and you see Jesus dying on the cross, his hands stretched out. That proves God's love for you. And we know that God is in control, and God does work all things together for good to those who love him. So the number to call, we're up against a break now, but the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Hey, maybe you've gone through a tragedy as Anne went through with her husband, and God ministered to you through that. Your story can help somebody else's. You need to keep your story brief, but your story can really help somebody else. So if you have a question, a comment, a brief testimony, please call in. And share that with us, because God can use your pain and the way he dealt with you and ministered to you to minister to somebody else. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are grieving the loss yesterday as the gunman, obviously the devil is involved. Any kind of shootings like this, the devil is involved. He's a liar and the father of lies. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. He is involved in these things. Demonic activity, mental illness, all those things get involved. But we are grieving with the school, with the parents. Two children, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, were killed while sitting in pews. 17 others were injured, including 14 children ages 6 to 15 and 3 elderly parishioners in their 80s. Injuries ranged from graze wounds to life-threatening injuries. All survivors are expected to recover, though, with two children initially in critical condition. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We have to cling to the Lord when the bottom drops out. Where else are you going to go? Job 2:9, Job's wife told Job, can you not see that God's hand is against you? Curse God and die. And he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we accept prosperity and good things from God and not accept adversity? Listen, God is good. Even when bad things happen, God is still good. And so we're going to the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a brief testimony of how the Lord ministered to you in a time of tremendous loss and grief, your story can help somebody else's. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. Our adult daughter, was killed by a man texting and driving. And when we got the call, my husband, you know, just grabbed me and said, "We're not going to get mad at God. We are not going to get mad at that person because they didn't get up that morning, you know, to do this. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to let this ruin our marriage." Mm-hmm. And that foundation, you know, was crucial in what we went through. And also on my way to our son-in-law's, just as real as could be, I heard God say, "Do you trust me?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Absolutely." And realized that for the first time, you know, I know what he saved her from when she was 8, but I don't know what he saved her from at 38. Mm-hmm. Changed my whole perspective. And we were even able to go in the courtroom and tell the young man that we forgave him. Mm. But only because of God. And there is no closure. That's a lie. The grief is still there. It's been 12 years. But without God, I have no idea where I would be. But because of him, I am here to share with others. And I know we didn't lose our daughter. Mm-hmm. We know where she is.
Yes. That is so good, Linda. I had a good friend, Charles Lowry, who's a traveling Christian speaker. He had a grandchild that was killed in an accident. It was just one of those things, run over. And he pointed out, he said, you know, exactly what you said. He said, "We didn't lose little Jake. He's in heaven." But he said, if you notice with Job, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Job, he doubled everything and gave him 10 more children. He didn't double his children, he said, because Job didn't lose his children. His children were just in heaven. So God gave him 10 more, which would double, because his kids weren't lost. They were there with the Lord. What a great testimony, Linda. Thank you so much for calling in. And I love that, how the Lord. I think all of the Bible really can be boiled down to one question from the Lord. Will you trust me? Will you trust me that I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins? Will you put your faith and trust in him? Trust is the key. And when we trust the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're saved. And then life makes sense. And all of us, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, "Lord, you did all things well." Because God is a perfect God. He's perfect in wisdom and knowledge. And he doesn't do things and say, "Oops, I didn't know that was going to happen." And he has a purpose in everything he does. So God bless you, my sister. Thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Victoria on the line from Arkansas. Victoria, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to share a testimony that happened to me yesterday. I was actually in line at Plasma when an alert came over my phone that there was an active shooter at that school. And I immediately was overwhelmed. I'm trying not to cry right now. I was overwhelmed and I immediately started interceding in prayer for the children, for everybody. I told God to cripple the shooter's hands, to numb them, to break them. I was interceding for the children, for shields over them, that if anybody was hit by bullets, that they would just miraculously fall out. I continued to pray in line. I was even saying Jesus over and over again. People were kind of looking at me a little bit. And I prayed so hard and for so long, and I felt peaceful. And I was like, okay, everything's fine. About an hour later, I got an alert over my phone that said 2 children had died. And I was immediately so upset. I was so mad. I started to get mad at God and overwhelmed because I didn't understand, because I prayed so fervently for them, you know, and it took me a minute. I had to really bring my just feelings, reel them in, and I felt God speak to me saying that, you know, my prayers weren't in vain, like, they were still used. My prayers could have shielded more people.
Yes. Well, no doubt God put that on your heart. You prayed, you were obedient, and 17 people that could have died, a whole lot of people could have died. There were many children. There was mandatory service that day, and there were a lot of people in the church, and as that guy just started raining down bullets. And so, Victoria, I'm so grateful that you have such a sensitive heart, and you call on the name of the Lord, and you're no doubt continuing to pray for the parents. Have you experienced loss like this?
No, not like this. But I'm a heavy feeler, so I can just feel things on people, you know, and I feel like I'm blessed with, like, interceding for people in prayer.
Yes. Well, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. And we need to have that heart that intercedes. And, you know, lots of times when people are going through this, as one person said, you know, I can't pray, but I can trust. And we can pray for people in that time of grief when it's almost impossible for them to pray, but they can still trust. They can still say, Lord, I don't understand, but my eyes are on you. And the cross proves that you love me, and the cross proves that I can trust you even in the darkest situations in life. So thank you for calling in with that, Victoria. God bless you, my sister. We have Tammy on the line from Arkansas. Tammy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Like Victoria, when I heard the news of the tragedy in Minneapolis yesterday, my heart immediately went out to the parents whose children ran ahead of them to heaven. My 20-year-old son passed 6 years ago in July. He was a type 1 diabetic, and like many young adults these days, struggling in his faith, struggling with his purpose in life, suffering from depression, and he stopped taking his insulin. And he ran ahead to heaven as well. I wanted to share some encouragement for anyone listening that may be new in their grief journey or struggling something. A passage in the Bible that has just so profoundly carried me through so many dark moments on this journey, and that is Psalm 139:16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. My son did not run ahead a day too soon or a day too late. He ran at the exact time God ordained before he was even born. And if anyone out there is riddled with guilt and could I have done something differently, why didn't I do this or that, it's God's timing, and he is a good God. Maybe he is saving our children from something horrible in the future, and we just have to keep clinging to him and holding on to his hope. He is good.
Amen. That's a good word. I think too, Tammy, I always encourage people that are in grief and have lost a loved one this way. You know, when you know your child, your loved one is a believer, then we know where they are. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And we have to think about them, not in those times, you know, when someone watches a loved one die from cancer or something that just totally ravages their body. It's easy to see them in this, you know, you have this horrible view of how the cancer had destroyed them, but you have to see them in heaven with the Lord. Get that picture in your mind, and their smile is bigger than the noonday sun, and they're kicking up gold dust on the streets of glory. They're having the time of their life. And then I think that helps us to rejoice. If you see it in the dark moment, you know, that horrible picture of when that loved one died, that can really send you down into the depths of despair. But when you see the other side and you get that to flood your mind and heart, and then as the other caller said, you know, I know that I'm going to see them again, as Ann said, Ann Cockrell, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven to see Jesus and to see my son. And so I think that gives us tremendous hope, and God is the God of hope. So thank you so much for calling. Such a good word. We have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and I appreciated Anne so much. My daughter had a, they called it a partial molar pregnancy, where a third gene was introduced into the baby, and we're all pro-lifers. We're born-again Christians, and we fought and fought and went to an Iowa specialist, went to a South Dakota specialist, went to a Minneapolis specialist, and the baby survived for 6 months in my daughter's womb. And we had all the hopes. We had the Midwest praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard, very difficult. And I know that I got a little granddaughter named Lynette who's in the presence of Jesus. I'm a little jealous. But I know she'll be there for us. But it has been you hear what happened in Minneapolis, and you hear the sadness of people who have lost children. The faith of Jesus Christ is so wonderful, but yet there is such a battle in the heart, and I know the enemy's trying to make us think that God is not good. And Jeff, I love what you say, that God is always good, and it's not you. You're reading Scripture.
Right.
He is always good. It's just sometimes very hard to understand and to keep pulling through, but we know He's perfect and He's wonderful.
Amen. Great testimony. Thank you, Marty. God bless you, my brother. We have Terry on the line from Texas. Terry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say I'm a Gold Star mom. My son was killed in action in Afghanistan with 6 years this past July. And he was a Christian. He had something happen before he even went into the military. He's in a bad car wreck. And he and Jesus came together. I mean, he made a turn in direction of his life. He was Green Beret, airborne, special forces, ranger, combat dive. He had 120 Green Berets under him when he died. And it goes without saying, I am very proud of his military legacy, but I'm more proud of his Christian testimony. All of his men came to us at the funeral and said, you know, Ryan talked to me about being a better man. We were having marital problems, and he talked to me about husband, father, and then sent a Christian military wife to speak to their wife. And he said, you know, we're still here. We're here. We're still married. And we heard story after story of how he led his men and spoke to his men. But my main thought is, a lot of people said that, why did God take him when he could have took a drug addict or someone, a violent person?
Right.
And I said, well, that person was not prepared. Ryan was prepared.
Amen. Well, we are out of time. That is a great testimony, Terry. What a son. Praise the Lord for him. And what a great perspective to have. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And it's a sad day, and we trust the Lord no matter what, and we praise Him and we thank Him even through tears. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, the Lord says. So trust the Lord no matter what. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.